As I said, we are looking at Psalm 4 this morning. For those of you who are searching for it in your Bible, Psalm, just open your Bible in the middle, and chances are you'll come to Psalms. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. And this, by the way, is King David wrestling in a difficult time in his life, reaching out to God. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you're disturbed, don't sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. The word of the Lord.
Our second testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke. In chapter 11, Jesus is teaching how to pray, and he tells this parable. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. The word of the Lord. This parable is sandwiched between 2 more popular sections of Scripture. Just before it, Jesus teaches the prayer that we now call the Lord's Prayer. And directly after is a well-loved section about God giving us whatever we ask for in Jesus' name. It's obvious why people love these other sections. One is a foundational prayer, one that we teach our children as soon as we can, one we pray together every time we worship. The other section after this parable is about asking for anything in Jesus' name. It feels great. Anything we ask for, it's like Christmas morning levels of serotonin. And between these highly lauded sections of the Bible is a little parable about knocking on a friend's door when we're in need. Like all good parables, this vignette is supposed to teach us something about God and how we are being asked to behave in the world. These stories help us better understand God and through that understanding better live our lives. We are God's stand-ins, after all, in this world. And a big part of our purpose here is to express God's essence to others. So when we learn something about God, we can also safely assume God is asking us to do something similar. So we listen to parables to learn about God and about ourselves. So this parable goes like this. A traveler is heading to a friend's house. For some reason, they are late in arriving. Maybe the sun was too hot and they had to take a rest, or they got turned around on the road. Whatever the reason, they get to their friend's house in the middle of the night. The friend immediately panics. Hospitality is highly valued, and the homeowner will seem rude if they have nothing for their traveling friend to eat. This homeowner is not rich. They don't have extra stores of food in their house for the traveling friend to be taken care of. And this friend is embarrassingly unprepared. Fortunately, this homeowner also has another friend nearby who does have some wealth, so they do have stores of food at their home. Better yet, this is a good friend who they believe will understand their situation and help. The homeowner goes to the nearby friend and knocks on their door. The parable asks the listener to decide what is the best way to respond to that knock. Either the person inside will reject the knock, stay in their comfortable bed. After all, it's the middle of the night, the door is closed, which means the family is no longer receiving visitors. Or maybe it is better for the sleeping, comfortable friend to hear the knock, recognize that only someone who is in real need would disturb them, and get up to help. Jesus' tone gives away what God's response would be. Jesus says, "Who among you would curl tighter into your cozy bed if you heard a friend knocking and crying out in need? Or, wink, wink, would you get up and help them? Wink, wink." It's obvious in the way Jesus tells this parable, the correct answer for the situation is to get up and help the friend. Jesus says this is like praying to God, that we are the friend who has found themselves in need, and God is the one cozy in bed, but such a good friend that God always gets up when there's a knock at the door. All we need to do is knock and ask for what we need in prayer. That is what the parable and the following passages, which go into knock and the door shall be open, ask and you shall receive, that's what these scriptures are telling us, that God answers prayers. We go on to read all of these things about asking and receiving, but this is actually a hotly debated situation in Scripture. Not many people are comfortable saying anything we ask for in Jesus' name will be granted to us. We all have some sense that at times people pray things that should not be given to them. So I've heard people say that God answers all prayer with one of three answers: yes, no, or wait. But I've always had a problem with this. No just does not seem to line up with what Scripture tells us about praying to God is like. It says in there, knock and the door will be open, seek and find, ask and you shall receive. That's what we're told. Jesus is telling us God will get up out of bed when we knock and make our needs known. No doesn't add up with what Scripture is describing to us. A truly loving God would never say no when we are in need. And even when we ask for something frivolous, there is something inside of us in that moment registering it as a need. Need enough to ask God to knock on the door and disturb God in their comfy bed. If something inside of us feels it is a need enough to ask, then how can a loving God say no? Or even wait? Those answers don't feel loving or even line up with the God that we meet in Scripture. But we have all experienced prayer that seemingly goes unanswered. If God did not say yes, and we see God answers all prayer, how did God answer if not no or wait? I think God gives us one of two answers: yes and tell me more. We all want the yes, of course. Yes gets the headlines. Definitively answered prayers is why we sit down to pray in the first place. We want what we ask for. We want to get an answer. We want to experience miracles. We want to receive the things that we're asking for. And sometimes we get, tell me more. Tell me more means God has gotten out of the comfy bed to come help. Tell me more means God can't really say yes to our request yet for some reason, but God wants to problem solve with us and become a partner in a better solution. Maybe in the course of telling God more, we find something better to meet our need, something that God will say yes to. Tell me more allows us to understand better what we are truly in need of. Take a child asking for ice cream. We could just say yes or no, depending on the situation. Or we could say, tell me more. Tell me more. Are you hungry? Does your throat hurt? Do you just see an ice cream store over there? Tell me more about why you want the ice cream. We may find out that the child is hungry, and in that case, we can talk about a better way for them to fill that need. If we only ever say yes or no to the child, they never learn when ice cream is appropriate and when it's not. With yes and no, the parent holds on to all the knowledge, all the regulation of ice cream. But if you ask the child, tell me more, it leads us into conversation that will teach them how to better meet their needs. We can get huffy with God when God says, tell me more. The lack of an immediate yes is a bit of a letdown. But the reality is, God is more invested with the tell me more option. It means God is not just getting out of bed and throwing loaves of bread at us. God is joining us, sitting with us, listening to us, and asking us questions. Tell me more means God wants to get to the bottom of our needs so that God can say yes to exactly what we need. God is the friend who will get out of the comfy bed every time when we come knocking in the middle of the night. And to learn this about God encourages us to fearlessly pray for what we need. Sure, praying for a snow day doesn't feel like the same level of praying for world peace, but God does not rank prayer. God will get out of bed for you no matter what you're asking for. And here's the best part. Ask, and it will be given to you. It will be exactly, it will not be the first thing that you ask for. Maybe God can't say yes to that, but God will stay with you as long as it takes to figure out what you and God can agree will meet that need. You will learn better how to fill your needs and what you need when you stick with God through the tell me more. To learn this about God also means this is how God wants us to engage when others make their needs known to us. I will advocate for us using no on occasion. We don't have the patience or the time or the big picture perspective like God does to always say yes. We have limits, and so no has to be part of our vocabulary. And we need to understand the power of tell me more and utilize it. Tell me more can sort out some pretty sticky situations. During World War II, President Roosevelt was on board the battleship USS Iowa on a long voyage to North Africa. Attached to the Iowa was a protective convoy, and one of the member ships was the destroyer USS William D. Porter. To put it mildly, the William D. Porter had not performed well in its protection task and made some terrible mistakes along the journey. At one point, President Roosevelt requested that an anti-aircraft drill be done by shooting balloons. And during the exercise, the William D. Porter wanted to clear its shameful name and perform well to prove themselves. But they accidentally fired a ready and armed torpedo right at the Iowa. To make matters worse, the captain of the William D. Porter didn't radio the Iowa because he wanted to stick to the rules of the drill and use light signals instead to tell them the torpedo was on the way. When they realized the Iowa was not understanding their signaling, they broke radio silence and let them know about the incoming torpedo. Fortunately, they managed to avoid that. Instead of asking, "Tell me more," the Iowa assumed this maneuver was an assassination attempt, and the Iowa pointed all of its guns at the William D. Porter. Thankfully, the captain of the Iowa did eventually get to ask, "Tell me more," and they sorted out the mess. Afterwards, the William D. Porter was always greeted with, "Don't shoot, we're Republicans." Tell me more is an option we need to utilize. When we cannot say yes, we flip too quickly to no. We think that the only answer that we can give after yes is no, but when we disagree with someone, we too quickly assume that they're out to get us. But even if someone is sending torpedoes your way, it might be worth asking, "Tell me more." Tell me more allows us to answer the door for more friends than just the ones we can get up and say yes to. There are friends knocking on our doors today. Friends scared that they're going to be separated from their children. Friends afraid to run in their own neighborhoods. Friends who are not able to be themselves in their workplaces. Friends who are not who are worried about the policies of this administration, friends who stress every day over their profession being completely upended. They are in need, and we might not agree with how they want to solve the problem, but if we can't say yes right away, we don't need to reject them and curl tighter into our blankets. We can ask them to tell us more about their needs. When we seek to understand the needs of others, we can partner with them to find solutions. We might not be able to say yes yet, but in the course of the conversation, we may find something we can say yes to. We can, and I believe God's example tells us we should, get out of bed at the very least to ask someone to tell us more about their needs. It's what God does for us every time we pray. And when God cannot tell us yes, God says, "Tell me more," and encourages us to continue in prayer. And eventually, we, along with God, find a way to yes. May we be persistent enough to ask, "Tell me more."